The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
The Nonprofit Voice is a premier radio program featuring nonprofits on Long Island every Saturday morning. For the past 6 years, we have learned about, been inspired by, and celebrated hundreds of nonprofits in our community. The Nonprofit Voice is produced by Marketing Works, the only full-service marketing and public relations firm that works almost exclusively with nonprofit agencies. We pride ourselves on our reputation in creating strategic marketing and public relations campaigns, successful virtual, hybrid, and live events, as well as powerful social media and digital campaigns. As the leaders in nonprofit marketing, no other agency understands the industry as we do, and we are committed to the success of each and every one of our clients. Marketing Works hopes you enjoy this week's featured nonprofit.
Good morning. This is Ron Gold from Marketing Works. The name of the show is The Nonprofit Voice. And if you would like to be a guest on the show, email me at ron@marketingworkspr.com. A few months ago, I was an award winner for the Executive Circle Awards. And Tori, you are an award winner too. I'm here with Tori Cohn, from the Executive Director of Long Island Alzheimer's and Dementia. And being an award winner for her, she is a leader at her organization, and her staff nominated her, just like my staff nominated me. And it's good to meet somebody who is an award winner like me. Welcome.
Thank you for having me on the show today.
I like to give you a little softball that you didn't expect, right?
That's right.
Well, Long Island Alzheimer's and Dementia is basically a new association, or not an association, but a grassroots organization. And you've been with them since 2003. I'd like to know a little bit, and our audience would probably like to know a little bit more about you.
I am a licensed clinical social worker and always have been interested in the geriatric population. So in my time of employment, I've worked at a mental health clinic. I worked at NYU Medical Center in the city. And something was drawing me to the Alzheimer's world, and the Alzheimer's disease was becoming more and more prevalent, and I just ended up landing in Long Island at the time at the Long Island Alzheimer's Foundation, which was in Port Washington, and I have been there ever since.
Well, you said that you had been in mental health. Is the association between mental health and Alzheimer's pretty close?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people that could have Alzheimer's or dementia and have mental health, so you could have both of them at the same time, but you're really, you know, focusing on the Alzheimer's and dementia at the organization, but we're also able to help people with their mental health as well.
Well, so you've been there since 2003, and in 2015, you took over as the executive director. And since 2015, there's been a lot of changes. I mean, you have really made your mark on this organization. And I got a chance to visit the Westbury location, and it was great. I mean, it really hit me with all the colors and everything else and people singing. It was nice. Tell me about that. What happened when you took over? You made a lot of changes, right?
So when we were located in Port Washington, we really were founded by five women, and their focus was on us being a resource and referral agency. And as time went on, we started to create a day program to serve the different stages of the disease. So for people that are listening, there are early stages, moderate stages, and later stages of the disease. But what happened was that Port Washington is a beautiful place, and we love serving all the families in that town, but we really wanted to be accessible to more people. So as our programs were growing and evolving, we really felt like we needed to be in a more accessible place. So we decided to look for a new place, and we ended up in Westbury. And we needed to be able to have a center that housed all of our programs. In Port Washington, it was a beautiful building, but it wasn't an appropriate space for day programs and Alzheimer's individuals and their families and the services that we were giving to them. So We moved in 2017 to this new center that we have our own space. It's about 10,000 square feet, and we have designated areas for different stages of the disease. And
in different colors.
In different colors. And it helps. There's a lot of purple. Well, there's purples associated with Alzheimer's disease. So we have a lot of purple on a lot of the doors, which helps our individuals locate their rooms the easiest of ways. But we also wanted a space that we have a bus and a van that they could easily pull up and let individuals out and their caregivers as well. So the one major change that I did do besides moving us is change our name. So a lot of individuals would think of the Long Island Alzheimer's Foundation as a foundation that is designated to give out money to other organizations. And I decided that, A, we do not have dementia in the name, and we don't have center. And we really needed to show the audience that, look, we are helping people. Alzheimer's is just a form of dementia. So people with dementia are able to come to our center, and that there are programs there that are happening. And unfortunately, we wish we could be giving out money, but we are always, you know, looking to have grants and donors and other people be giving us money so we can continue to be sustainable in the community.
So you want to be known with Dementia Center, but don't people abbreviate it more and say Long Island Alzheimer's and Dementia and stop there?
Yes, a lot. The acronym is much easier to say than the whole.
So let's start saying it. LIAD.
Okay, and I'm going to say LIAD.
LIAD.
Okay, absolutely.
Good deal. I like that. So before you change the name. That happened right after you came in, right? Right after there was a change. When did you guys start? When did the Long Island Alzheimer's Foundation start?
Oh, I mean, we were founded in 1988.
Okay.
So we really have been serving the community for over 30 years. But I always felt like we were this hidden gem in Port Washington, and not many people knew about us.
Right.
And also being able to access our services because it's so far off the highway. It's around, it was 20 minutes off the highway. So if we're wanting an organization, especially helping individuals and their caregivers, that the caregivers are not getting respite when they're driving their individual loved one 20 minutes off the highway and then 20 minutes back to wherever they needed to go.
You should be on Old Country Road then.
And we are on Old Country Road, at 1025 Old Country Road. So if you were heading west on Old Country Road, we're a little past the Wantagh Parkway. And I've been finding that people are having a really easy time finding us and also seeing us. And we're able with our transportation to be in a couple spots as a pickup. So we work a lot with the Maple Point Assisted Living in Rockville Center as a drop-off, and also Christopher Morley Park and Searingtown Road as another pickup and drop off. So we are trying to make it accessible for other people that are on the outer skirts of Nassau County.
So adding dementia to your name, before it wasn't even known, it was just Alzheimer's Foundation. Were a lot of programs added after you took over?
There was a lot of programs added. I think the idea of still with the dementia is that Alzheimer's is a very stigmatized disease, and I feel like dementia, people have an easier time saying. So they would always call and say, oh, yeah, well, we have dementia, so we don't, that's not going to work out. And so all of our programs are geared towards all forms of dementia, which Alzheimer's is a specific type. And yes, we really built up our day program with the early, moderate, and later stages of the disease, tailoring activities for each individual's needs. We also added brain fitness workshops, which is someone might not be diagnosed yet, but there might be showing some signs of it. And we do some programs that are geared towards that population as well. And we have also always had an in-home respite program, which is we serve people in their homes 2 hours every other week in Nassau County. So that was another program that has been growing. There's definitely other programs that we can talk about if it's now or later that have evolved during the time that I took over as executive director. I think we're always, as a team, trying to really be creative in what works for everyone. Because I've said since I started at the organization, I haven't met one person that has Alzheimer's or dementia that's like another. Everyone might have a couple symptoms the same, but there's not the same people. We can't just say, oh yeah, that's right, he really acts like Joe or Sue. No, everyone's different.
And say the same thing about mental health.
Yes.
You know, it's a stigma. Oh, he has mental health problems.
Yep.
Yeah, what degree of it? I mean, there's different people with different degrees. You can't just classify, and that's what they are, classified. Oh, mental health patient. Wow.
Well, you bringing up mental health too, is that in the last year and a half, even before the pandemic hit, we were already trying to start the process of adding counseling services to our programs, because not only someone who does have Alzheimer's may have issues they need to discuss if they're able to speak about it, but they're caregivers. And we're also really there now to serve a lot of people in the community. They don't just have to have dementia. So we now have counseling services that are facilitated by a licensed clinical social worker, and we are able to bill under Medicare and a few other private insurances at this point. So especially during and after this pandemic, it's definitely been a need for a lot of people that are accessing this service.
Well, one of the things that I've noticed from what you've been doing is that you have really branded the agency. I don't think it was ever branded like you've done recently, especially with all the moves and everything else. How did you do that? Why, was that something you wanted to do before you got into this job? Did you feel that nobody really knew you?
Yeah, well, I feel like no one really knew us. And because we were in Port Washington, we weren't able to partner with a lot of other community organizations and right. a lot of other nonprofits and even assisted livings or nursing homes. We wanted to be able to do a lot of work with them so we can refer back and forth to each other, really work on programs together. It was important for the agency to have that. So really, when I started taking on this role in 2015, that was one of my goals, that we really needed to start partnering with others and gaining that trust in these organizations so that they would refer more people to us. And I didn't even mention, you know, hospitals. We've worked closely with Northwell Hospital. We've worked closely with Catholic Health System. We really want to make, you know, our mark. So, being our mission is to improve the lives of individuals that are diagnosed and their caregivers. We really want to be that go-to organization for services.
Well, I found it in the day that I went in and met your staff that they seem to have the same kind of enthusiasm that you have. That's probably why they nominated you for that award, but still, I was very impressed. Is this all new people that have come in? You know, basically, I don't want to put anybody down in the past, but I'm saying you wanted more people like you.
Well, since I took over, there are a few people that were still part of the organization before I took over as the executive director. But I do think that we have added, it's taken me time to put together a team where, yes, there's a lot of passion and a lot of creativity. And I always say, if someone isn't there for the right reason and want to push this organization further, then it just, it doesn't work out. I mean, most of the time people are there for the right reasons. And I think also because we're a place where all of these programs are happening on a daily basis, it makes people very motivated. I mean, you could walk out that day. I mean, not every day is the best day in the world, and there's a lot of, you know, things that can happen. But we're really trying to make a place where people find hope and support, and that it's positive. Getting a diagnosis like this should not be a negative, and that it's the worst thing that could happen to someone. We want to be able to be something positive. And so I think with my staff that we currently have, everyone's there for the right reasons.
Yeah, you don't see them with long faces. They're out there, and your legacy, but when you're not there, you want the same thing to come across.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So let's talk about the grassroots organization versus the association. There's an association associated with Alzheimer's, and then there's the Long Island grassroots organization, which is yours.
Yep. So as I had stated a little, just a couple minutes ago, is that we were founded by five women, and they all had connections with the disease, and they all lived in Port Washington. And really their goal was that they wanted to replicate some of the programs and services that were happening in that center and be able to give out money, which is really where the foundation came in the name. But we never, even though we had opportunity, get connected with a national organization. We are both there for different reasons, but we're grassroots. We always say any money that's raised with us goes directly to our programs and services and stays on Long Island, which is important for our organization. And we're also different because not only our hands-on approach, but we're serving people in the early stages of the disease to the later stages. So once a family walks into our center, we're really there to navigate through the journey with them together.
Is there confusion between the two organizations?
Yes, there is confusion. I think people, I think when someone wants to give to Alzheimer's, that, you know, they feel very compelled. Some people want to give to research. Some people want to give to the hands-on programs and services, the here and now. We're both there for important reasons, but I think people do get confused. So we all, you know, we work with everyone, and we just want to make sure that people know what they're giving to when they're talking about these organizations.
Tori, are you serving more people now than you did in the when you first took over?
Yes, we definitely have probably doubled or tripled our touches. I mean, I say even a call on the phone, a referral call to a doctor or a home care agency, a counseling call on the phone, any of that is still helping people. And then you add on our programs and services. We didn't talk about some of the caregiver services that we offer too. So, you know, we really are at this point where we're serving around 5,000 people in a, you know, in a year.
Wow.
With how many people we talk to and get involved with.
And how many people were there before you took over?
Oof, I'd want to say like maybe 1,000, 1,500, just
wow.
different kind of organization. But also when you have programs that evolve and then you start to get yourself out there, there's more people that start to get connected and reach out.
So you're the executive director of Long Island Alzheimer's and Dementia Center. And I want to hear about the caregiver support groups. Caregivers are so important.
Yeah, our caregiver support groups are really important because they're not only are they facilitated by one of our social workers, which there's a lot of support groups out there, but it's very important that you have licensed individuals that are running these groups because there are a lot of really important discussions that happened. We try and separate. We have spouses in groups. We have adult children, the sandwich generation in groups. So we know that children and spouses have a lot of different feelings regarding that loved one that's affected. So we try to separate that. If there's, you know, not a need at that point, then we just combine. It's most important just getting the help. But it's a place where people really are able to talk about their feelings and walk in everybody else's shoes that are dealing with the same disease. And sometimes those people that give out advice in the groups help people that are possibly in an earlier stage. And then if they were, the other person was in a later stage, it's really, to me, one of the most important things caregivers can do. If they aren't getting private counseling, a lot of people get very shy and nervous about speaking, but talking to your family is an important aspect, but you really, I think, feel the most comfortable talking to people that really understand the disease and understand the symptoms of it.
So you don't consider a caregiver, if I'm the wife of a man who has Alzheimer's or dementia, and she's taking care of him all the time. That's a caregiver, but that's not a caregiver that has the real training that comes from you.
Yeah, I mean, I should say that we would call them a caregiver also. A lot of them, you know, sort of, let's say, have the title home health aide, but they're really, if they're possibly substituting care for a caregiver for whatever reason, and they're involved, but we really help these aides. We do a lot of trainings, because people that are taking care of someone with dementia is different than just taking care of an older person that is frail. And the fact is that the mind and this disease can create some behaviors that are difficult to manage, and people that are taking care of them need to know. So if someone's yelling at them, saying, I have to say, sometimes people say profanities, say things that are just not okay. If the person has been trained by us or their agency and know that this is not the person, they don't mean to be saying that, they don't know what they're talking about, just understand that and, you know, hopefully be able to move on and continue to take care of them, that's going to work out. So it's really important to whoever you have, if it's in your home, be equipped with knowledge about the disease.
So what number can they call you at?
You can call us at 516-767-6856.
Thank you. We'll be back right after this short break. Thank you.